Need your daily fix on mixed martial arts?
We're going to kind of recap Bellator 155.
From UFC 198.
Who's who.
Kind of a controversial decision.
And who's not.
I couldn't figure out why, and then it hit me.
Well, don't you fret, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your daily dose of MMA podcasts. Everything from the UFC, Bellator Fighting Championships, Extreme Cage Fighting, Invicta Fighting Championships,
and so much more.
Join us as we talk about some of the biggest names in mixed martial arts. We've got you covered here on Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast.
And our next topic that we're going to talk about, after we just got done talking about the big win for Amanda Nunes over Ronda Rousey, but there was a fight before that. And this fight really created, once again, solidified that Cody Brandon is a star. And it's just, both fighters came out of this thing, I thought, looking really great. Cody, for showing that he can hang with anyone in the division, and he's one of the best in the world. And Dominic, by being, you know, and Dominic has been known as, you know, kind of a, you know, he knows how to get under people's skin. Sometimes he's not one of the more favorites. He handled the loss like a champ, literally.
Yeah, most definitely. We saw championship fiber from both of these fighters, and it was really an electrifying fight because we saw these conflicting styles and how they matched up mentally before and during the fight.
Now, William and I have talked about this fight a couple times since this fight has ended. And how many times did you watch the fight, William?
I watched it 3 times.
Same here. I watched it 3 times. And we were talking about, first, well, let's just talk about the fact that Cody won a 5-round decision to take the featherweight title. Right, featherweight, right?
It's actually the bantamweight.
Bantamweight, yeah. No, sorry, you're right. Bantamweight title. So Cody wins the bantamweight title from a guy who's Dominic Cruz, who's been champion or hasn't lost in a decade. Dominic Cruz has been pretty much unstoppable. Even injuries didn't stop Dominic Cruz, but Cody was the guy that actually could stop him. Were you surprised at all?
I was definitely surprised. I mean, leading up to the fight, Dominic seemed like he was running circles around Cody mentally. Like he was getting him riled up. He was getting angry. Cody was trying to skip out of press conferences and interviews with him, and it seemed like he was just going to dismantle him during the fight.
Okay, mentally, when I looked at that fight and the interviews and everything leading up to it, I looked at this as Dominic Cruz actually won the mental game. But when we stepped in the ring, it looked like who was in whose head. I felt like Cody was in Dominic's head more than vice versa.
Oh, yeah, from the start of the first, It was all Cody mentally wise. Cody's one of those special people that can channel all the emotion that they have before a fight and really calm down during the fight and use all that emotion to their advantage. And he was the one that actually got a better hand over Dominic.
He out-Dominic'd Dominic.
Oh, most definitely.
I mean, from the playing with him, the break dancing, the push-ups, the nailing, the dropping him and telling him to get up, and all the stuff that he did, he was totally in Dominic Cruz's head. And I felt like, you know, it looked like Dominic was, he didn't move like he usually moves to me. He wasn't the same Dominic. And I don't know if it was mentally or, you know, I was watching, because I've seen, like I said, saw the fight 3 times. There's a leg kick. And Dominic's like, ooh, that one hurt, didn't it? And he says that to him. Dominic wasn't moving really like he usually does after that kick. Was it mentally, or was it the different kicks, or what was it that made Dominic not fight quite like Dominic to me? At least to me, he didn't fight like that, like he normally does.
All of the above, I believe. I mean, in the first early rounds, I mean, we talked about this before, there hasn't really been a fighter other than TJ that's kicked Dominic in his legs, which is the foundation for all of his movements and everything. And what I noticed early on in that Cody fight was that Cody was really utilizing those kicks to the legs and to the body to slow him down. And at the same time, he was pointing at Dominic. He was gesturing. He was making. He was just clowning Dominic throughout the fight.
Absolutely.
And both of those played a major factor. It slowed him down. We saw moments where Dominic would hurt Cody, but he would mount an offense against him, but he couldn't continue that momentum because Cody kept on taking it away from him with all of his punches, his actions, and general fighting and ring craftsmanship.
You know, even some of the takedowns that Dominic Cruz attempted, Cody out scrambled him. I mean, Cody was on his game. And you know, it didn't seem like Dominic was on his game, because you know, Cody was like in his head. He was landing a lot of punches, and I also felt Dominic was very, very cautious with the fact that he truly did respect that Dominic really respected Cody's punching power. So I didn't think he wanted to engage him like he would normally engage a lot of other fighters. Also, all the feints, Cody didn't bite on those feints, where everyone bites on those feints with Dominic Cruz. And that's where Dominic Cruz kind of makes his money, is from countering the feint, the person biting on those feints.
Yeah, there's two major things that you have to consider when looking back at that fight and really analyzing it, is that Cody comes from an amateur boxing background. He is more technical than most boxers in the UFC. And with the short-range punches that he has and the discipline that he has not to bite on those feints, those were a very important thing to do. And another thing to consider is that Cody is from Team Alpha Male. They've been prepping.
They've spent their entire life just trying to figure out how to crack the Dominic Cruz code. And finally, it's happened.
I believe they finally had a fighter that could do it. I mean, Uriah Faber wasn't at the top of his game towards the last fight that he previously had earlier this career.
I don't think the big problem for Uriah Faber was Uriah wasn't long and lanky enough, nor was he fast enough, where Cody had that range. He was long and lanky, but he was mega fast as well. And I think that's the stuff that Uriah never had the fight against Dominic.
Yeah, and we saw Uriah try to use a similar game plan in counter-striking and some of the controlled aggression there, but he wasn't as technical as Cody, and he couldn't capitalize on a lot of the mistakes that Dominic usually gets away with in his herky-jerky, unorthodox style.
So, what was your big take of, you know, when you go through and you look at this fight, what's next for what's next for Dominic and what's next for Cody?
I believe Dominic needs a top contender, and he needs a win just to get back into that title contention. He only needs one more win because he's just ruled the top of the division. And if there isn't any other fights that like could catapult him into that, I don't mind seeing him fight for the title against the winner of a Cody versus TJ fight, which was a fight that you alluded to earlier.
Yes. Okay. I take it this way. Number one, does Dominic Cruz deserve an immediate rematch? I give you the case of yes. And here's the reason why I say, instead of it being Cody versus Dominic Cruz, I say you make Dominic Cruz wait. And you give TJ Dillashaw. I think TJ Dillashaw should wait. I think Dominic Cruz deserves an immediate rematch. And the reason why that is because after this fight, and I've told you this and you know what I'm getting to, I went back and I watched the fight with all the hype and everything kind of worn off, and I know what happened, so I can sit back and relax and watch the fight. And I watched the fight And I look at the round one, and it's a really, really close round, but I gave it to Dominic Cruz. And the reason why I give it to Dominic Cruz is the old philosophy of close rounds, you give it to the champ. Round two, I gave another close by a hair round two to Dominic Cruz. Round three, I thought was clearly Cody's round, and that was a solid 10-9. So I had 10-9 Dominic Cruz for round one, 10-9 Dominic Cruz for round two, 10-9 for round three, but I gave that to Cody. Round four, it was an easy 10-8 round for Cody. And then I gave the fifth round a 10-9 to Dominic Cruz. This is after watching the fight. Now, with the scorecard, I scored it a draw with the scorecard. But when you're watching the fight and you're just watching the fight, it is clear who the better fighter was that night. It is definitely Cody was the winner. But if a judge scored that fight a draw, I would understand where it comes from. I personally, when watching it at the time, I scored it for Cody the first time, but when going back, I scored it a draw. My point is, the fight was close enough that Dominic didn't get blown out of the water like Jose Aldo or Robbie Lawler did when they lost their title. He lost a close decision. And if you got a champion who hasn't lost in a decade, and the only time he's ever lost his title was through injury, and he came back and got his title right back, he deserves an immediate rematch. What's your take?
I wouldn't mind seeing an immediate rematch, but the thing is, I love seeing new fights, and I love seeing these clashing styles happen. As for the judging, there needs to be an overhaul to the system. I mean, a round-by-round scoring system that they adopted from boxing isn't going to fit the UFC because it's about...
No, it doesn't. Not at all. Because this, I was just going to say, this is exactly what I'm saying. When you score it round by round, you can make a case that this is a draw. Or, I mean, and if you scored a round four, a 10-9 round, then actually Dominic wins. There needs to be a new scoring where you look at the fight as a whole, because if you look at the fight as a whole, there's no question, there's no, back and forth, Cody wins the fight. But when you score with the wrong scoring system, you can make a case that Cody lost the fight, draw, or won the fight.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. That's why I'm a huge proponent of the way that the Japanese score it, especially when they did it in Pride, and now they're continuing to do it in Ryzen. They judge a fight by damage done and who won the fight as a whole. And there's a lot of aspects from Japanese MMA that I'd love for the UFC to adapt.
Because if you say who won that fight as a whole, Cody wins that fight with ease. But if you break down the scoring, it's a different story.
Yeah, it's a lot closer than it seemed.
So, most likely, though, do you agree that it's going to be Dominic Cruz? I mean, it's going to be Dominic Cruz, or do you think it's going to be TJ Dillashaw next?
You know, with the way that UFC has been making these matchups, I wouldn't be surprised either way. But as far as story-wise, it's hard to deny what TJ has done. He's knocked off two number one ranked competitors in a row. He deserves it. I feel like they need to showcase the star that Cody is, because he made a name for himself after that fight with a touching tribute to the fight to Maddox, who has recovered from leukemia.
Yes, definitely one of the moments of the year.
Yeah, and I feel like they need to capitalize on that. That Dominic Cruz fight is always there. Dominic needs some time to overcome some of the injuries and that he sustained through the fight, but it seems like Cody and TJ came out of those fights relatively fresh, so they can have that happen before another immediate rematch.
I agree with you on that. When you take in the injuries, I think TJ Dillashaw probably is the most likely candidate. And, we talked about, like you talked about Maddox, and that's a fantastic story of him sticking by the kid who had been battling cancer and had overcome and won. and he always promised him that he would get him to the championship, get him a championship belt. And he actually did that, which I think is just, you know, is truly one of the, if not the best, one of the best moments of the year. With that, when we come back, we're going to go through our moments of the year. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
All right, we're back, and we just got done recapping the Dominick Cruz, Cody Brandt fight, and we're also talking about, you know, moments of the year, which we are about to go into our year in review, or our, you know, our awards for the 2016 MMA year. And William and I, we both have all the categories, but we did not take a look at either one of our answers. So we're going to go through and we're going to go and we're going to touch on each category, and William's going to give his answer. I'm going to give my answer. We'll trade back and forth and see, you know, where each of us was at. A lot of these fights that we're seeing here, if you haven't seen these fights that are on my list or William's list, I highly recommend these. This is the list to go back and say, what do I need to pull up on YouTube and recatch? So here it is. The first one is Male Fighter of the Year. And a lot of places, everyone, you know, a lot of the shows, they've all been giving it to Michael Bisping. But I didn't. I actually gave it to Conor McGregor. And let me tell you why I gave it to Conor McGregor. I gave it to Conor McGregor because he had, yes, he did lose in the year, but he had major event after major event after major event, and then he broke all box office records, and then he came in and he set history by being the first fighter to ever win two titles in the same year and hold them both at the same time. And he knocked both champions out. And you can make a case where you look at Jose Aldo, an all-time great legendary fighter. He knocked out no time flat. And then I can't think of what his name is now.
Eddie Alvarez.
Eddie Alvarez has been a champion everywhere he's gone. He's one of the legends of fighting outside of the UFC. And Conor McGregor made it look easy to take the second title. That's why I made him my fighter of the year. Who'd you have as your fighter of the year?
Conor McGregor's my fighter of the year as well. He's a double champ. He was a simultaneous champ in both divisions. Although he did win that one from Jose Aldo at the end of last year in December, he continued his run. And if it were not for an injury to Rafael Dos Anjos, he may have had that championship even earlier. So, given that loss to Nate Diaz, that's the biggest knock you can give to him. But the way that he responded to it and the way that he came back from that adversity and won that five-round war against Nate Diaz, you have to give it to him. Obviously, my number two fighter is Michael Bisping for his three victories against Anderson, Luke Rockhold, and Dan Henderson. And as for honorable mentions, I have Cody, who we mentioned before, and Stipe Miocic.
Okay. First off, I'm all shocked because I was not expecting you to say Conor McGregor at all. Not even a little bit. One, because I thought you were going to say he lost. Two, because a lot of people I've been listening to, a lot of shows, and I think it's kind of becoming more the end thing to discount Conor McGregor because he's such a big star. But if you look at the beginning of the year, a lot of the fighters, at the beginning of this year, a lot of fighters looked at him as like, oh, he's just a hype machine that the UFC is kind of babying and giving him all these easy fights. And he's, you know, he's just being spoon-fed. Well, guess what? He knocked out legends.
Yeah.
He knocked out some of the toughest fighters in history.
And the way he does it, the way he's performing at these highest levels, at these blockbusters levels, because honestly, there isn't any other fighter, bar Ronda, that attracts the popularity that he does in the mainstream crowd. The way that he's dismantling people and the confidence that he's showing with it and backing it up with his fighting style, you have to give it to him and his accomplishments.
Okay. Our next category, I'm going to let you go first on this one. And this one, I'm feeling pretty confident we're going to be on the same page. Female Fighter of the Year.
I definitely have the champion, Amanda Nunes.
If you give it to anybody other than Amanda, you get thrown out of this room.
Yeah, there really wasn't any other competition. I mean, the closest fighter you could even argue was Joanna Jędrzejczyk, but she only had two victories versus the three that Amanda had. And they were major, major victories.
You know, I would have, okay, it's Amanda, and there's no one even close. Number two, I agree, would have been Joanna. I thought about Cyborg, but then I looked at her fights and then everything that went down, and I said no. And I looked through and I say, it's only Amanda. That's it. Okay, so we're going to move on from there. that's a layup.
Yeah, they're locked in.
All right, now here is where we're going. We're going to agree, and then we may not agree. Fight of the year. Give me your first fight of the year.
My first fight of the year was at UFC 206. It was Du Ho Choi versus Cub Swanson.
Listen, prisoner of the moment. That is such a prisoner of the moment. Yes, great fight, amazing fight, but I don't even put it on my category. Amazing fight. I think you have to have, you know what, I'm gonna shut the heck up because I'm about to put my foot in my mouth, because I was about to say you have to have it be a major event. But you know, one of my fights of the year, wasn't even a smaller stage. So I bow down to you and say that was an amazing fight. So I'm surprised that was one of your, that was your, that's your winner though.
That's my winner. I have a close second, and yeah, I have a close second though.
My fight of the year, and this is where I start sounding too much like a McGregor fan, and I'm not, but Conor McGregor, Nate Diaz was my fight of the year, the two. And the reason why was Conor was coming off of a loss after being stopped by been submitted by Diaz. He came back. He reinvented himself as far as in the ring goes, and they put up a war. They really put up a war, and so that was my fight of the, that was my co-fight of the year. You got another one?
That was actually one of my honorable mention. Okay. That was my third one. But the co-fight of the year that I had was very early on in the year. It was Robbie Lawler versus Carlos Condit. And that was a 5-round war.
We agree. That's my miscongeniality one. That is just an amazing fight. They tried to kill each other in that ring. That was an amazing fight. It finished third on my list because there is another fight that I liked even better. That was my co-victory was actually a women's MMA fight. It was Angela Lee versus Maya Yamaguchi. And that fight is amazing. And look at the, William has his jaw just dropped open here.
That was the fight that just barely didn't make my top three. I swear to you, that was my fourth fight.
Were you expecting me to have that one on there at all?
I was expecting it because I had it on mine, but I didn't put it up there, you know?
Listen, most people out there have no clue who Angela Lee is, let alone Maya Yamaguchi. Go to YouTube and watch that fight. That fight is a great, amazing women's MMA fight. I made it my co-MMA fight of the year. Do you think Angela Lee will ever be in a UFC?
She definitely has the potential to be.
She has the potential to. The one big disappointment that I had in Angela Lee this year is that she came on scene like a rock star. She's amazing. She wins the title, and we haven't seen her since then. Not one fight since. I think she won a title in March or April.
Yeah, it was early on in the year. But
it was early in the year, and she hasn't fought again.
I mean, that's fine with me. That was an absolute war. I mean, I want her.
Isn't
to
Isn't that a little long?
Up.
That was a. Isn't that a little bit of a lengthy layoff, though?
She's a young fighter. I want her to preserve her career as long as possible. As long as they're going to feed her another fight that will meet that Yamaguchi fight caliber, then I'm fine with that. But
if you know, it's January now. One FC doesn't have anything with her on the schedule at all right now. I even went back and looked. There is no right now. I don't see any plans of putting her on a card, and I don't understand what's going on with that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It may be a promotional thing, but they're dropping the ball a little bit. It's time.
We agree it's time, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so that was my little surprise, but I do put them as 1 and 1A. As far as that Angela Lee and the Conor McGregor fight. And then my 1B, you got it, Condon and Robbie Lawler. Okay, upset of the year. You go first.
My upset of the year was Bisping versus Rockhold.
The reason why I let him go first, because I knew we were going to have the exact same thing. It's definitely that. Would you call it a... At first, I almost called it a lucky punch. But it wasn't a lucky punch. It was just being at the right place at the right time. And I think Michael, this entire year was all about being in the right place at the right time. Because my first right place at the right time is, I'm going to fight Anderson Silva in England, where I thought he got some home cooking. Because one, I thought he got knocked out. Two, I thought he lost the fight, even if he didn't get knocked out. My co-host today is going to disagree with me, but right place, right time.
In all three of his fights, I mean, you could argue that he could have lost all of them easily, and he was on the path of losing those, but it was just the stars aligned for him. I mean,
everything, he capitalized, right place, right place. Right.
And he capitalized on the moments. I mean, he had the right game plan going against Anderson. He was patient. He didn't want to rush anything. But in that third or fourth round, I definitely feel that a stoppage was necessary. And I agree with that decision. There was a little bit of home cooking there. And I mean, after watching that, Luke Rockhold didn't take him as seriously as he should have, and he didn't display the urgency that let him become the champion. And all credit to Bisping's game plan for using his left hand and landing it when Luke Rockhold's right went down. But I mean, I don't feel that in those two fights, I don't think that the better fighter won. I feel that Bisping just took advantage and capitalized on the opportunities.
That is the reason why Bisping wasn't my fighter of the year, because I personally thought, one, he lost two of his three fights, but, you know, the scoring wasn't on his side. And then his title win came off of, you know, I kind of felt like he wasn't the better fighter. He got his. Anyone can win at any time, and he proved it. But I thought he lost to Anderson Silva either by knockout or decision. Go back and watch the fight, and you'll understand why I say either by knockout or decision, because you could be either one. I thought he got knocked out, and then I also thought he won a decision. Anderson Silva won a decision as well. But then a lucky shot with Rockhold, and then I don't think he beat Dan Henderson. He almost got knocked out. He got knocked out the first one to get Anderson Silva. He almost got knocked out Dan Henderson. I can't give a guy who should have been or almost knocked out twice in the same year fighter of the year.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, and that's why he wasn't my fighter of the year. But Bisping is like the MMA version of Rocky. I mean, Rocky
abso-freaking-lutely.
Rocky wasn't the best fighter. Rocky didn't show all that. He was just at the right place, right at the time, and he capitalized on all those moments. He had the fighter's heart. He had the champion's heart, and he put it all together. And I feel like that was this year for Bisping. I don't believe it's going to be for next year. Just as an aside.
And you know, Michael Bisping wasn't my fighter of the year. Know what he was? He's my bad decision of the year. My bad decision of the year was Bisping versus Anderson Silva, where Anderson knocked him out. I thought the fight was stopped. Anderson's on top of the cage. He's celebrating. Referee says he's not out. They continue to fight. Bisping makes a comeback, but partial reason why he's making a comeback is the fact that Anderson's kind of stunned by what the heck's going on. He makes a comeback. I still think Anderson wins on the scorecard. I just went back and saw that fight again before coming here. I still scored Anderson to win even after the knockout. But then because it's in his home country, I thought the scoring was not, I won't say fraudulent, but it wasn't, I didn't feel so good about the scoring. So that was my bad decision of the year. What was your first bad decision of the year?
I don't quite have that as my bad decision of the year. I have one on the regional circuit with Melvin Manhoef versus Rafael Carvalho, and that was in Bellator, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a clear decision for Manhoef, but he was robbed of that. And I have a few other ones. Jim Miller versus Joe Lauzon. I felt that Lauzon won that one. And I'll even go back to the fight of the year that I had. Carlos Condit versus Robbie Lawler. I felt Carlos Condit won that fight. And as for the decision that you chose as a bad decision, I felt that Anderson could have won that fight. It was so frustrating to watch that because I felt that Anderson could have won that fight at any time he wanted to. But
yes,
he was just not engaging enough, and the judges misconstrued that as him losing the fight, and they saw Michael Bisping's aggression and ring control as something that aided in the victory, but I don't totally agree with that.
Okay. I have a few other bad decisions of the year that I'm going to touch on. The most recent, Yana, I can never pronounce Yana because she's a – do you know Yana's last name? She ended up fighting Tanya. She fought Tanya Evinger for the Invicta Bantamweight title. Tanya, you don't know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't know. I don't know how to pronounce her last name.
Okay. Tanya, she was trying to put on Tanya in an armbar. Tanya was stepping on her head, which was legal. The referee told her, Tanya, that she couldn't do that and adjusted Tanya. So Tanya was adjusted into the armbar where she had to submit because of the referee assisted the other fighter into getting the armbar. Tanya ended up losing her title, but they went back and reviewed it, and they gave the title back to Tanya. But it hurts Tanya. This bad decision hurts Tanya because Tanya has been one of the most dominant bantamweight champions over the last few years and deserves to fight the Ronda Rouseys, the Miesha Tates, the Amanda Nunezes of the world. But she's not a media darling, so she doesn't get the fights. I even saw an interview where they told Tanya, yes, you're a dominant fighter, but your fights aren't interesting enough for us to bring you to the UFC. Tanya can compete against any of those guys right now. And for someone, because of a referee's decision to adjust her pretty much into an armbar till Tanya submits, was wrong. I'm glad that the Athletic Commission made the adjustment and gave her her title back. But that was definitely one of the bad decisions of the year. Another bad decision was John Lineker versus John Dodson. Dodson won that fight with, he put on a masterful game plan. And the game plan is a big part of winning a fight. And Dodson came in with a winning game plan to win a fight. He clearly won the fight, I thought, with ease. But bad because judges are not used to scoring fights like that, they scored it wrong, and the wrong person won. So that was mine. You even showed me over there that was one of your wins.
Yeah, I had it up there, but I didn't mention it because of the fact that, from my point of view and what we've discussed before, is I can see how the judges think, and a lot of it is who's controlling the ring, who's being the aggressor, who is walking around and stalking, and a lot of times they don't see the punches that land, they don't see the counter punches, they don't see the mastery of the style, they don't realize that circling and hitting and sticking and moving is a great style, and a lot of that gets overlooked in MMA because of fighters' ability to take the punches, and it may not seem like they're getting hit because they'll clinch right after it and they'll get close in. And that was similar to the Anderson Silva fight and why I don't have them in, because I can see where the judges are coming from. Not that I agree with the judges at all.
Okay. And then my last bad decision of the year is ESPN and Fox Sports. And no, they did not fight this year. But both organizations had made a decision to bid on the UFC, to buy the UFC. One, ESPN decided eventually not to put a bid in, and Fox Sports put a bid in, but it was a smaller bid. This is a bad decision because it makes me think about in the late 80s, early 90s, when the Cowboys were for sale. And I remember when the Cowboys first came up for sale in the late 80s, they were for sale for $20 million. I think Jerry Jones eventually bought them for right around $50 million. But it's one of those things where the Cowboys, they don't really have a clue on how much the Cowboys are worth, but it's worth billions. We're talking 20, 30 years later, they'd be worth billions, plural. I think ESPN and Fox Sports could have changed the game forever by actually buying and owning the UFC, and media would have changed forever. I think both thought about it, both made some serious thoughts about it, but they both, in the end, fell short, and that's one of my bad decisions of the year. What's your take on that one?
I definitely agree. I mean, they're passing up on a huge opportunity. I mean, boxing is dying. Boxing is almost dead.
Yes,
this would take the mantle of combat sports, and that is huge all around the world. There's no sport that's as huge other than maybe soccer, but that's not huge here in the United States.
But it's the fastest growing sport in the world.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you need, like, everyone understands a fight, now, regardless of what language you speak, where you're from, what race you are. It's
a fight.
It's
yes.
a fight.
And these guys could have had this organization for a little over $4 billion, and you take that over a 30, 40 year period, ESPN and Fox Sports, they could have cleaned up. They really could have. And also, instead of them having to, every 5 or 6 years, coming back and rebidding billions on, because it's going to be billions this next time around.
Yep.
Bidding on the rights to show these events, they would have owned them and never had to negotiate ever again. Only thing they had to do was collect money. It was a bad decision on their part. On this part, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to round out and we're going to go with, or we're going to touch on a few more awards. Round of the year, knockout of the year, submission of the year, breakout fighter of the year, and comeback fighter of the year. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
All right, we're back, and we were covering some of our awards for this year, and we had just covered Fighter of the Year, which we both agreed with Conor McGregor, Female Fighter of the Year, Amanda Nunes, Fighter of the Year. Well, who'd you have as Fighter of the Year?
Fighter of the Year, I had Du Ho Choi and Cub Swanson.
And I had Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz. Upset of the Year, we both agreed on between it was Michael Bisping and Luke Rockhold. Bad Decision of the Year. What was that bad decision year for you?
I had Melvin Manhoef, Rafael Carvalho.
I had Bisping Anderson Silva and Tanya Evinger, her fight, and then Lineker, Dodson, and then ESPN Fox News. Fox Sports, not Fox News.
Definitely not.
There's all kind of bad decisions there.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, our next category is Round of the Year. And I think my first one is going to be your first one. You go.
Stipe Miocic versus Alistair Overeem.
You suck. Wrong. I didn't get that one at all. I actually didn't have that one on there, and that's a what round are you saying?
Just in one round. It was a one round fight.
Oh, yes. So first round. Yes. Actually, that's a good one. Wow, that's a good one. That's a good one to put up there. I like that one. Okay, I'll give you mine. Do you have two?
I have another one.
What's your next one?
It's round three of Robbie Lawler versus Carlos Condit.
Oh, round three.
Yeah, round three. That's when the war really took place.
Shocking. He said round three. Yeah. My round of the year is round five. Carlos Condit, Robbie Lawler.
No, that I thought that was too much of Robbie Lawler. That was I actually consider that, but Robbie Lawler took control of that round like nobody else takes control of round fives.
Yeah, I love that one. And my co round of the year belonged to Angela Lee versus Yakamuchi again. I said that wrong. Round three. That was an amazing round. And so that was my round of the year, those two. But we both agreed that Carlos Condit fight is round of the year. Okay, we can't be here for a year. So this next category, we got to do this one. Knockout of the year. Go for it.
Well, the thing is, I have knockouts of the year where they're out cold. And I have TKOs of the year. So I comprised two different lists just in case, because I'm not sure which one you want to go with.
Give me one of each.
Okay, so TKO of the year, I have Michael Page versus Evangelista Cyborg Santos, where he did the flying knee and caved in Cyborg's.
Thought about that, but when facial reconstruction is a category, I decided not to put that on there. That was brutal.
Yeah, it was nasty.
When your skull is crushed in and you see the X-ray, and it doesn't even look natural. Once again, YouTube it, or go to Google it. You'll see what I'm talking about. And what was the next one?
And as for knockout of the year, where it's just a pure knockout and they're out cold, I have Lando Venata versus John McDessie with a spinning wheel kick. Check it out.
I love William. One, William had none of my knockouts of the year, which makes me happy. Two, he picked phenomenal knockouts to choose from, which makes me even happier. Love it, love it, and love it. Okay, so let me give you my knockouts of the year. You have a couple more, right?
Yeah, I have honorable mentions, and I'm pretty sure
let me do mine because you're going to steal my thunder on your honorable
mentions. I'm not trying to.
Because my knockout of the year is Gerald Harris versus Aaron Kolb, and it is the very last fight of Legacy FC. And Kolb comes in. This is supposed to be a welterweight fight. Now, welterweight. Clear my memory. What is the weight category for welterweight? Do you know?
I believe it's 170.
No. Welterweight? No, welterweight's way lower than that.
Welterweight?
Welterweight's like 145.
Oh, are you talking about boxing?
I mean, for MMA.
No, welterweight.
Let's go pull this up real quick. Anyway, they comes in at, it's supposed to be a welterweight fight. And Kolb comes in, and he's 50 to 70 pounds overweight. 50 to 70 pounds. At one point, he was 90 pounds overweight. 90 pounds overweight. Okay. Gerald Harris, who has been out of the fighting for a number of years, hadn't fought since 2013, he needs this payday. So he agrees to, even though he made weight at welterweight, he comes in and he has to drink 2 gallons of water and get on the scale, plus stay fully clothed, which I think his pockets were a little full as well. But they make him he makes weight on the scale. He throws up the water. They get in the ring. The fight lasts about a minute. Gerald Harris picks up Kolb and spikes him to the ground in a slam that knocks him unconscious. But he doesn't follow up with a shot to the face or a shot to the head or anything to knock him out. He's already out. Spikes him to the ground, hits the deuces, hits the peace sign, and walks away. The dude's unconscious. Knockout of the year.
And what happens when he wakes up? What happens when Kolb wakes up? The referee asks him something?
What did he ask him?
What day is it? Or what?
Oh, he gave a funny answer. What was his answer again?
He's like, they asked him, where am I?
And he said Tuesday.
Yeah, he said Tuesday.
That's what it was. Yeah. He gets spiked. He drops the deuces on him. And then the referee asks, where are you? And he says, Tuesday. That's how you know you've been knocked out. Okay, now some of the honorable mention ones, I'm going to run off these one kind of fast because I think you're going to have a lot of these. I got Rumble Johnson over Glover Teixeira. Did you have that on your list?
I actually didn't.
Oh, wow. I thought you would. What about Yoel Romero over Chris Weidman?
Nope, thought about that, but I found better.
Oh, and then Tyrone Woodley over Robbie Lawler?
Nope, not even on there.
Hit me, brother. Let me hear what you had.
I got Yair Rodriguez versus Andre Feely.
Okay.
It was a jumping, spinning kick.
Okay.
And I have Dan Henderson versus Hector Lombard with the elbow from hell.
Oh wait, I forgot about that one.
That's
you know what? You could make a case for that being fight of the year too, because Henderson was done at one point and he still was able to knock him out. That has potential for fight of the year right there.
Yeah, that was a great fight.
It's not going to win, but it's something that should be mentioned. That was early enough that I forgot about it.
And then I have a couple TKOs of the year. Connor versus Alvarez. I thought it was a weird fight how all of it just seemed to go in line, and it seemed like
that was just too easy to qualify. Yeah. Okay.
And then the other one, I have Donald Cerrone with his four-piece combo against Rick Story. That was nasty.
I like the I would put it down as not knockout of the year, but one of the best combinations of the year.
Yeah, that's why I didn't have it as my KO of the year, but it was in there.
I love it. Okay, submission of the year. I'm just going to say, I got to jump ahead of you. Mine is Miesha Tate submitting Holly Holm. And the reason why is, number one, if you look, when Miesha's losing this fight, Holly just has to hold on to win. And Miesha puts a weird naked choke in. Holly goes out and she's flailing her arms like she's a little Rock'em Sock'em robot doll. And then if you look at an interview, Holly says that she's having a wonderful dream when she opens her eyes, and then her whole world comes crashing down because she realizes that she just lost the title and that she's not in her dream world that she thought she was in. Amazing submission. And then the other submission of the year was Nate Diaz submitting Conor McGregor.
We completely agree. I mean, I completely agree with both of those. Those are major submissions of the year.
Absolutely.
They just changed the game. Like, it was the stakes, everything, the manner of submission after. It was almost like a comeback for both of them, you know?
Yes.
And I definitely agree with you on those ends. I had an honorable mention to Ben Rothwell versus Josh Barnett by Gogo Plata, and that's just because Josh Barnett's never been submitted in his 20-year-old history in mixed martial arts, and Ben Rothwell was able to do so by Gogo Plata.
Okay, so those are great. Next one, Breakout Fighter of the Year. Do you just want to give me yours? Because I think ours are going to be pretty close.
Okay, so I have Breakout Fighter of the Years. I have them ranked. I have number one is going to be Cody.
Agree.
Cody Garbrandt. Number two, Amanda Nunes.
Go ahead. I don't have Amanda because Amanda was already considered one of the top fighters in the business. Okay.
And then number three, I have Nate Diaz for capitalizing on the platform that when he fought Conor McGregor.
Wow, I thought ours would be a little closer. So we agree on Cody as number one.
And I have one last honorable mention is Max Holloway.
Now there's a guy that made mine, it would be number four on mine. Number four is Max Holloway, and Max has done everything right. Number two is Stipe Miocic. Number two is Mickey Gall.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody knew who the heck Mickey Gall was, but you know, CM Punk will never forget who he is. And, you know, he's come on the scene and he's broke out. He's definitely been a breakout star, right?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I have to have him on my list now, too.
And yeah. Then Cody is number one.
Yep.
Okay, but we agree on
yeah, yeah, definitely.
You look like, man, I can't believe I skipped him.
No, yeah. He just completely skipped my mind right there.
I wish there was a camera on because you could see William the light bulb like, oh, that's so obvious that it should have been on there. Okay, comeback fighter of the year. Okay, let me hear your comeback. Do you want me to go first or you want to go first?
Comeback fighter of the year, I'll go first. I have Dominic Cruz after coming back from so many injuries and almost becoming a Fighter of the Year candidate had he beaten Cody. Then I have Michael Bisping for elevating himself from a gatekeeper fighter to a champion.
I agree with you. He's actually my number one comeback fighter of the year for the record.
Yeah. And then I also have Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Now I messed it up too. Khabib, we're gonna just
yep. Khabib, he came back from numerous injuries and should be fighting for an interim title pretty soon at 209.
I think they should ban all interim titles unless a champion's been injured for over a year. There should be no such thing as an interim title, especially the way they're doing it right now. But that's my soapbox. My comeback fighter of the year is Michael Bisping because, you know, he was just going to become a filler. As a matter of fact, there you could have even made a case that if he gets knocked out by Anderson, he's out of the title picture forever.
Yep.
Okay. But by home cooking, by hook or by crook, he is the champ. Number two, Angela Overkill Hill. Angela Hill was a placeholder in the UFC. She was out of her league. She was just getting beat up on. She got let go of the UFC. And she made the smart decision to step back. She went to Invicta. She changed her game up. And Angela Hill is now champ. And she's fighting maybe the best she's done in her entire career. Angela Hill makes my list as comeback fighter of the year. And the next guy is another guy who was contending but was always falling short. And that's Phil Davis. Phil Davis was on the verge of being kind of pushed out of the UFC or just as a placeholder, someone to, you know, to kind of test yourself against, like an OSP, you know. It's just, oh, he's a name that we could put him in and get a good fight of. But he went to Bellator, and he made a name for himself, changed his game up, dominated, and is now a champion. And that's why I make him my comeback fighter of the year. Anything else you would like to add here?
Yeah, I completely agree with those fighters. I actually had an honorable mention for one fight performance. It was Tim Elliott versus Mighty Mouse. He came back from the Ultimate Fighter show, and he put on a great performance. I thought he elevated himself up, and he was a comeback fighter of the year candidate.
Yes, I agree with you on that one. He's definitely made a name. He's someone that people will want to see, and I think he's going to get a rematch against Mighty Mouse.
There's not much people left to fight Mighty Mouse.
Right, so that's what I mean. This is the perfect rematch guy. So with that, that concludes this episode of the GSMC MMA podcast with us doing the recap of the year. If you agree, disagree, hate our answers, love our answers, go to Twitter and let us know. And like I said, we haven't been on the air very much the last couple of months with the holiday seasons and moving to a new office, and I've been on doing a little vacation. But there will be a lot more shows and on a much more frequent schedule now that we're back. And so we look forward to having you guys. With that, good night, and we will see you later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.